Welcome to the Shir Maral Marav Gurarye Parshat HaShavua. In Chutzal HaOrez, this week is Parshat Tahar B'Chukosai. I have the distinct privilege of being in Eretz Yisrael this week, where it's just Parshat B'Chukosai. So let me begin with the Maral, commenting on a very famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshat B'Chukosai. The Pasuk opens up, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Gimel, if you walk in my chukim and my statutes, and you observe my mitzvos, and you perform them, and the pasuk goes on to tell about all of the brachos which will befall Klal Yisrael in such a scenario. Rashi writes, you would think, perhaps, that if you walk in my statutes means that if you fulfill the mitzvos, but it doesn't mean that. When the pasuk at the very end says that if you perform them, that's referring to the performance of mitzvahs. So how then do we understand the first phrase, if you walk in my statutes? The implication of that part of the pasuk, says Rashi, is that the Jewish people are toiling in Torah. So in the chukosai teilechu, if you toil in Torah, va'asisem osam, and then you carry out the mitzvos, so then you will begin all of these brachos. Now, as Rashi very famously writes, that the brachos are contingent not only upon the shmiras ha-mitzvos, the observance of mitzvos, but on lilat ha-Torah, the learning of Torah, and not just lilat ha-Torah, not just the learning of the Torah, but lilat ha-Torah ba'amal, learning the Torah with a tremendous amount of assiduousness, of toil, of yegiyah, of working hard, then and only then can we think about being zocha to merit all of the brachos which are promised in the subsequent sukkah. The Maral in this Rashi expands a little bit more on why the chukosai refers to learning and why teilechu speaks of being involved in Torah learning. So, writes the Maral, Masha'omah Shetira Meilim Batorah. How do we get to the idea that the chukosai teilechu means to be amal batara? Haino v'nei kosuv halimud v'loshem halicha. What tips us off to the fact that we're talking about learning is that the pasuk uses the language of halicha, of walking, if you walk in my statutes. Ki halicha yesh batarach v'amal. Walking involves exertion. It's much easier to sit down, to lie down. Walking involves exertion. So that implies that the involvement which is spoken about in the chukosai teilechu, it means something where a person is working hard, where a person is toiling. And again, it would seem that the extension of what the Maral is saying is of all of the mitzvos, the one which requires the most ongoing amal v'yegiya, the most toil, is limud ha-Torah. V'yesh b'farish gam kein, shehalicha she'adam holek mimakom lamakom, ken yi amal v'Torah lahamik v'tom ed yosef v'mashe ma'ahemik v'kodem. V'zeh nikra halicha v'Torah. The second interpretation, says the Maharal, is that halicha implies that one is traveling from place to place. You're walking, you're going from point A to point B. That also has a unique connection to the idea of limud ha-Torah, because limud ha-Torah brings a person from one place to a different place where he was not before. When a person is amal ba-Torah u-ma'amik ba-Tamin, right, when a person is involved in the toil of Torah and deepening his understanding of Torah, so he will always be able to achieve higher and higher levels, or deeper and deeper levels of understanding. So that notion that the person is transient, you know, that the person is constantly moving and growing, is also something specifically associated with Torah, and not to the same extent with mitzvah. In his notes to the Maral, Rav Hartman quotes the kasha raised by Rav Putner Zatzal in the Pachad Yitzchak Teshuos Maimer Yizayin, where there Rav Putner asks the following kasha. He says, why is it necessarily the case that only in Limud HaTorah can we speak about a person deepening his commitment and his understanding and going from madrega to madrega, from level to level, l'chora, one would think that that's true of many mitzvos, it's not all mitzvos, or many mitzvos, many good attributes that a person has. Let's say a person, you know, is involved in the mitzvah of tzitzis, or makes a special effort to, you know, always be involved in the mitzvah of tzitzis, you know, or let's say a person is involved in the mitzvah of Shabbos, so you could be Shomer Shabbos on a basic level, but you could work on enhancing your Shmira Shabbos so that it's not just a cessation from work, but a situation where the person really feels the kedusha of the day. So, you know, why does the term teilechol, which implies that the person is progressing in his involvement in whatever activity is described in the pasuk, why does that necessarily lead us to the conclusion that we're talking about Limud HaTorah, that could be applied to any number of mitzvos and mitzvos where the person is deepening his involvement in the mitzvah or in that particular mitzvah, right? Mitzvos especially, we can appreciate this. A person is, quote-unquote, working on the mitzvah of anger, you know, he's working on the mitzvah of humility, you know, so we certainly see that there's a concept of, you know, progression, of getting better and better at something, you know, in the realm of mitzvos. Why can't that be what's being discussed in the Chukosai Teilechu? So, Rav Hartman himself, Rav Huttner, gives an answer, in fact, that he spoke. Rav Hartman himself presents the following answer, which, if you take a look at Rav Huttner's Maimar, fits in nicely. It's not exactly what Rav Huttner was saying, but I think it fits in nicely with what Rav Huttner was saying. Namely, that there's a qualitative change that exists when a person progresses in Limud HaTorah that isn't true with regard to progression in any other mitzvah or mitzvah. And that's as follows, that's Rav Hartman. The more a person understands Torah, the more he creates, as it were, new Torah. He doesn't really create new Torah. In other words, the Torah which he comes to understand was always there. Every chiddush that's ever going to be said, that's a correct chiddush, was revealed on some level or another to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. But the definition of Torah, from my subjective perspective, is what I understand. So as I deepen my own understanding of Torah, for me, I actually create a new Torah. So that's something, you know, that doesn't really exist in other areas of Torah, other areas of Torah practice. If a person is working on the mitzvah of chaos, of anger, and, you know, he gets better and better at it, he doesn't create, so to speak, a new mitzvah. He's just, you know, training himself to be better in this particular field. But here, with regard to Limud HaTorah, he actually creates a new chesed shel Torah. He actually creates a new item known as Torah. You know, there's a new Torah that's created, again, from his subjective perspective, you know, as much as he's ma'amik, as he's deepening his understanding in the Limud HaTorah. And, you know, that, Rav Hartman suggests, is perhaps what the Maharal means over here, that the Chukosai Teilechu, since the pasuk speaks of Teilechu, of an ongoing progression, so, you know, that implies, that can only imply Limud HaTorah, where the more one is involved in Torah study, the more one progressively creates something newer and newer with each deepened level of understanding which the person reaches. Okay, so those are two interpretations that the Maharal gives as to why Teilechu tips us off that we're talking about Limud HaTorah. Then the Maharal goes on to say, how is it that the word B'chukosai specifically relates to Limud HaTorah? So he writes, V'chein ha'deshani l'mitzvah b'chukosai teilechu. V'yachakakosah v'smitzvosai tishmeru. Right, the fact that the Omol HaTorah is introduced with the term B'chukosai is v'neshah chukosai d'var she'ein tam yodua amitasam. Chukim in general refers to something which a person doesn't fully understand. Right? You know, this famously, Chazal say this, in the context of the mitzvot themselves, mishpatim are laws which the, you know, the seichel can understand, chukim are laws which are typically beyond our full human comprehension. So the fact that a chuk in general means something which is beyond our full comprehension applies equally to limud haTorah. Because eshel adam ha'asik ma'at mehem, a person can only really understand a finite amount of chukim. The whole holy umamik talmid yoser imashe hisik barishona, right? And it's an ongoing process for a person to understand more and more of the chukim. So the same way that applies to, let's say, something like Parah Aduma, where the person first encounters the mitzvah and he doesn't fully understand it, so too, that's true with any aspect of Limud HaTorah, because by definition, before you learn the subject material, you don't understand it. You start learning it, says the Maharal, you understand a little of it. And the more you learn, the more you understand it in a deeper and more profound way. But that notion that at least you start out not really understanding, in that regard, Limud HaTorah is similar to a chok. Right? This is tremendous mussar, of course, because, you know, we sometimes think that it's a snap, you know, to just be able to open up a sefer and to be able to understand it. The Maharal reminds us that in a certain sense, the same brick wall that we hit intellectually when we encounter something like Parah Aduma is at least initially a similar kind of brick wall that we hit when we open up the sefer and try to understand something and learning. You have to work on learning to be able to understand it. And in that way, learning is like a chok. So that's one sense in which the chukosai refers to Limud HaTorah. Oh, sheyesh torah delimudam yoseh. Right? Also, a person has to toil in order to understand the Torah. And l'chach kastav eitzla chukah salicha amara ala Torah. Going back to what the Maharal said before, the term teilechu, that you should walk in the ways of Torah, implies a certain amount of Torah, a certain amount of toil that the person has to be involved in. And that toil goes together well with the idea of the chok, the notion that Torah is something that at least initially presents a problem for us to be able to understand. So then building on that, the Maharal then goes on to make the following statement, which I think is just very important outside of this context, just for understanding the term chukim in general. That which Chazal say, that mitzvot which are called chukim, have reasons which are beyond our comprehension. That's not to say that you can't understand something with regard to chukim. All that it means is that you're not able to fully understand the chukim. It doesn't mean that you can't understand the chukim at all, but that you can't have any grasp as to what the chok is trying to teach you. You are able to understand a little bit of what the meaning and the purpose of the chok is all about. Just don't fool yourself into thinking that you understand it in its entirety. Now, this I think is an interesting idea, which I'm not sure if this is what's commonly assumed. I think we commonly assume when we talk about chukim and mishpatim, that mishpatim, you know, things like losirsach, losignov, etc., mishpatim are understandable, and chukim are not understandable. Right? It's sort of a binary division. Chukim we can't understand at all. Paradum we don't understand at all. You know, we don't understand anything about shatnez and the like. But here comes the Maharal, he says, no, that's not really entirely true. Chukim just means we can't understand them fully, but we can understand them partially. And l'chora, the Maharal has to say this based on his application of the term chok to limud haTorah. Right? The Maharal said a moment ago that limud haTorah is called a chok because when you first approach limud haTorah, you don't understand it and you have to work to try to understand it more and more. If chok really meant something which you can't understand at all, that would be incredibly depressing for anyone who's trying to learn. Then the Maharal would basically be saying that, you know, if you're going to pick up the sefer and try to learn, forget about it. You know, the sefer is a closed book. You'll never be able to understand anything with regard to this aspect of Limud HaTorah, with regard to the Sefer that you're trying to learn. It's because the Maral says that Chok just means that you can't understand something entirely, so then we can apply it to Limud HaTorah. Okay, I start learning, I don't understand anything, I learn more, I understand more and more and more, I realize that Aruch HaMe'eretz Midah, I realize that the Torah is so vast that I'll never really be able to understand it completely. But I don't think that I can't understand Torah at all. I think that at least partially I'm able to understand Torah. So in that regard, the term chok, both with regard to Limud HaTorah as well as regard to mitzvahs, whose meanings are beyond human comprehension, mean I can understand this up to a point. I just realized that my understanding is limited and finite, and I can't understand it entirely. But the Hartman in his notes quotes the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tzemura, where the Rambam says something similar. The Rambam writes, "Hafalpi shekolchukei haTorah zeiroshem, even though all of the laws of the Torah ultimately are divine decrees, right? They're chukim. Royal is boning b'hem." Nonetheless, it's appropriate to contemplate these laws. The chomash ha'asa yocho lifei lotam, saying lotam. And anything that you feel that you can explain and understand, by all means, go ahead and do so. In other words, even the chukim, they're beyond full human comprehension, but they're not beyond partial human comprehension. However, one could suggest that that might be the explanation behind what seems like a contradiction in Rashi's and Pashas Chukas. In Pashas Chukas, of course, Rashi opens up defining the word Chukas or Chok as one of those things, one of those mitzvahs which are beyond our comprehension, right, in the context of Parah Aduma. And then at the very end of the Pashas of Parah Aduma, Rashi quotes the Hezber, the explanation of Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, explaining how each aspect of the service of Parah Aduma in some way corresponds to a kind of kapara, to a kind of atonement for the Chetor Ekel. So, you know, you read from the beginning of Rashi to the end of Rashi, you say, I don't understand what's going on over here. He just told me that Parah Aduma is a chok, it's beyond human comprehension, but hey, let me explain it. Right? So, according to this Yisod of the Maharal, you understand very well how the two parts of Rashi fit together. Yes, Parah Aduma is beyond complete human comprehension, but that doesn't mean that we can't understand it on any level. It doesn't mean that we can't understand Parah Aduma at all. One level of understanding Parah Aduma is to see it as a kapara, as an atonement for the Chetor Egel, and this is how the details fit into that. Fine, so I have a level of comprehension. Just realize that that's not the full comprehension of Parah Aduma. That's a partial comprehension of Parah Aduma. But, you know, it doesn't take away from the fact that I do have a degree of comprehension that I can glean from learning the mitzvah of Parah Aduma well and trying to understand it. So I think that's just a very important concept when it comes to chukim as to, what it means that a chok is beyond human comprehension. I wanted to take a look also at another Maral, where the Maral explains in a very, very beautiful and meaningful way a Rashi, which on the surface is not exactly clear what the Rashi is saying. So, towards the end of the Brachos, the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Tes, Ufanisi Aleichem, I will turn to you, Vifreisi Eschem, I will cause you to increase, Vihirdeisi Eschem, I will make you great. Rashi writes, the Koma Sekufa, I'll make you people who walk around with your heads held high. Hakimosi is Grisi Yitchem, and I will fulfill the covenant which I made with you. What are the words of Fomisi Aleichem, I will turn to you, mean? So Rashi writes, Ephonemi Kolasokai, I will turn myself away from all of my other pursuits, L'shalev Sechachem, to pay you what you deserve. What could this be compared? L'melech shesachar kohalim, to a king who hired workers, to the east of the Taras Kohanim, as it says in Taras Kohanim. Rashi doesn't tell us the end of the Medrash, of the Mashal. The Maral fills in the words of the Medrash. Mashal l'melech shesachar kohalim, this could be compared to a king who hired workers. So hired some kohalim, hired a shah, so there are many workers who work for the king. But among these workers, there was one worker who stood out because of the extended service he had provided for the king. He worked for the king for a long time. All of the workers came into the king to get their reward. And that particular worker came in with them as well. So the king said to that worker, Zini, right, my son, I'm going to turn my attention to you. I'm going to ignore all of these other workers and turn my attention especially to you. All of the other workers did a minimal amount of work for me, so I'll give them what they deserve, a minimal amount of reward. Aval atah, right? But when it comes to you, cheshbon rav ani asid lachshov imach. I'm going to give you something incredible, something great, something that goes beyond the minimal reward that I'm giving to the others. Kach Yisrael, Mevashin Scharam Ba'olam Hazeh, Ve'umos Ha'olam Mevashin Tam Kein Scharam. So too, the Jewish people ask for their reward in this world, together with the nations of the world who ask for their reward as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people, Bonai Eponelochem, my sons, I will turn myself specifically to you. So, one reads this Rashi, again with the accompanying Medrash, and one wonders exactly what Rashi is helping us understand the pasuk. Clearly, the term which is difficult to understand is the Ponisi Alechem, I will turn to you. What does it mean for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn to us? What's the significance of that? So Rashi says, Eponami Kalashtokai Rishalim Tcharchem, I will turn away from all of my other involvements to pay you, which, again, based on the Medrash means that even though the nations of the world are claiming some reward, Kadosh Baruch Hu turns away from them and gives us, the Jewish people, a special and unique reward. But it still doesn't quite explain it. So again, it's all, you know, describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns away from anyone to turn to anyone else? Well, clearly it's not meant in literal terms. So what does it mean in this context from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn away and turn towards us? It's not clear what Rashi exactly is explaining, you know, in the pasuk. So comes the Maharal, and he explains what the Medrash is saying. What the Medrash is bringing out is as follows. Both Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world are going to be paid by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for their respective involvements in good things. The nations of the world, however, will get their reward exclusively in this world. Chal Yisrael will be zocha specifically to a reward in the next world, in Olam Haba, and it's implied, we'll see later in the Maral, not really so much a reward in Olam Hazeh. Since the nations of the world, relatively speaking, did a smaller, less significant service for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they get paid back in this world, which is of less significance. But the Jewish people who have served so valiantly and so, done such great things, they cannot be paid back in this world. You can't really pay back the Jewish people in this world for the toil that they did. So the since the Jewish people can't be paid back in this world because anything of this worldly would be insufficient to reward us for our nisos, sort of along the lines that Chazal say in Kiddushin, our nisos ba'olam v'hai al-maleka, that there's no real reward for nisos in this world. There's no currency that exists in this world, in this, you know, this earthly existence that's able to pay HaKadosh Baruch Hu that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pay us for our mitzvah of servants. So therefore, the nations of the world will be paid in this world because, you know, what they did is relatively minimal, and therefore a reward in this world suffices. Klal Yisrael, who have done so much, a reward in this world doesn't suffice. It would cheapen the tashlumen, the payment that a Kodesh Baruch Hu could give us. And the Maral writes that tashlumen comes from the word shalem, is complete. You pay the person completely for what they've done. And, you know, if we would get any star in Olam Hazeh, it would by definition be incomplete and not tashlumen. Therefore, the tashlumen, the real payment of Klal Yisrael, is delayed to Olam HaGah, because then we can be properly paid for that avoda which we've been engaged in. So to bring this back to Rashi, what Rashi seems to be saying is as follows. Again, wasn't Tamisi Aleichem, I will turn to you. It means, again, we're not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally turning anywhere, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays us in a way that's fundamentally different from the way in which he pays the nations of the world. Right? The nations of the world he pays in Olam Hazeh, Klal Yisrael he pays in Olam Haba. And Panami Kola Sakai, I will turn away from all of my involvement, means that the schar that I will give you will be fundamentally different from anything that has to be involved in Olam Hazeh. The schar that I'm going to give you, Klal Yisrael, is going to be an Olam Haba type schar, and it will involve HaKadosh Baruch Hu turning away, not literally, but turning away, paying us in a different track, in a different fashion, than the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays the Umos HaOlam, the nations of the world, for their involvement. It's a tremendous yisod, a chizuk, really, to Klal Yisrael, when we realize that in Olam Hazeh, we don't always have the easiest time of things, so we have to, you know, hang in there and realize that our ultimate schar is sitting aside for Olam Haba. You know, that's an important, piece right there. But it also, just in terms of the pasuk itself, it indicates that, this tenia, this turning away, you know, is very much a part of the pasuk itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that even though I'm bestowing all of these brachos upon you, which are clearly Olam Hazeh brachos, and the whole parsha is talking about brachos that are in Olam Hazeh, nonetheless, that's not the real schar. The real schar, the real reward that we're getting, is the Fonisi Aleichem. It's something which is of a fundamentally different nature, and it's not just merely something paid in Olam Hazeh. That's the real head there in Rashi, at Ponami called Asokai. Okay, it's close to be here in Eretz Yisrael. We look forward, as Hashem, to resuming the shiur at the regular time next week in the regular location. Maybe that's Hashem will be zocher, and then Moshiach will come, and we'll all be here in this location. But if that proves not to be the case, then we'll be back in the regular place next week, Wednesday night, and we wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.